You're listening to FM 102.7 CKMS in Waterloo, Ontario. We are online at radiowaterloo.ca. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program. This is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recording of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website at canada-info.ca. I'm your host, Charisse Alishaw, reporting for CKMS Newsroom. We are having an affordable housing crisis in the KW region. Marginalized populations are struggling to find affordable housing within our community. The City of Kitchener released a document in December of 2020 called Housing for All, which states, "The current housing delivery and support system is not functioning effectively. Housing needs are not being met. The government is aware of this current housing crisis and has been aware of it for some time. Our community members that are in need of affordable housing already face many barriers to finding housing. The last thing they need is to be struggling to find affordable housing." An article by CTV News states that the report made available by the City of Kitchener shows that a need for affordable units keeps growing faster than the creation of units. City staff says that Kitchener needs about 8,000 units, while there are only 4,500 available units right now. Not only is there a lack of affordable housing, market value rent keeps rising. The average cost of rent increased by 35%, with the average housing prices increasing by 88% from 2008 to 2018. Most of these increases happened from 2016 to 2018, and it still continues to increase. Today, we speak with Sandy Dietrich Bell, CEO of One Roof Youth Services, a youth shelter within the KW region. We speak about the barriers that the marginalized members of our community face when trying to find housing, as well as how that specific population struggles already and the barriers they face within our community, as well as how a community can work together to improve housing availability for those in need. So welcome to CKMS Newsroom. How are you, Sandy?
I'm good, thanks.
So for those who don't know what One Roof does in the community, can you explain what it is that One Roof does?
We've been around since 1989, and we work with youth who are homeless or at risk of homelessness, many of which have, you know, some trauma in their history, you know, family violence, abuse, dysfunction, mental health and addictions. And we started out as a drop-in center. And after a few years, quickly recognized that, you know, youth in particular need holistic and wraparound services. So we quite quickly evolved into being open 24/7, 365 for drop-in purposes. We now have outreach programs. We have prevention and diversion programs designed to help youth either return to school or get some developmental, some educational information around returning to school or employment skills so that they can, you know, seek employment in the community. We also have an 18-bed co-ed shelter. And then in the winter, we operate it's called overflow. It's additional beds for folks so that nobody is sleeping outside if the shelter network is at capacity. We moved locations to 2 years ago in order to expand services further. And we're now in the process of building a 44-unit supportive housing building. It'll be the first of its kind in Waterloo region that is specific for youth. And it'll make sure that at least 44 young people have apartments of their own. And it'll be staffed 24/7 to offer them the support they need to be successful as they transition into independent living.
That sounds like an amazing, amazing program. I love that. And you guys offer a whole wide range of services for youth, which is amazing as well. I have a question for you in regards to the services. Are the services geared towards the youth that are staying at One Roof, or are they geared towards, are all youth able to use the services?
No, it's open to any youth 12 to 25 that's experiencing, you know, poverty, or they're at risk of homelessness, or they're finding themselves homeless, except the shelter. Obviously, the shelter is 16 to 25, and we only have the 18 beds, so it's a first come, first serve. But all of our other programs are open to any youth that sort of fit within that mandate. And we do have youth that, you know, they're housed, but partway through the month, money is low with their family or with themselves. And so they come to us for food hampers, or, you know, they come to us to help them with, you know, maybe their legal appointments or their medical appointments, or, you know, getting qualified for Ontario Works, like things like that, that they might struggle with navigating that system. They would come to us for support.
And how many youth does One Roof help per year? Or do you guys even keep track of that?
We do keep track, mainly for funding purposes. And it's interesting because I get asked this question all the time, and certainly I can provide the data. We're well over 500 a year. But, you know, I like to respond to folks and say, you know, the number doesn't really matter, even if it was only one. You know, in a country as rich as Canada, we should not have even one youth that has to sleep outside, or, you know, that is removed from their home and has no support. So, you know, the numbers certainly substantiate the need, but I like to challenge community to think about, you know, even if the numbers were lower, it's an issue that we could eradicate if we really came together and, you know, really put the money where it's needed in terms of prevention and diversion and affordable housing, so that no one finds themselves homeless or having to sort of make their way in a very complex system. And it's particularly challenging with young people because, you know, as you know, their cognitive development isn't even fully complete until they're in and around 25. And, you know, there's a maturity level, you know, they don't have a housing history. Many of them, because of the traumas and issues they've faced in their childhood, you know, I would even say developmentally, they might be a little bit behind. So it's difficult for them to navigate the system, you know, without any of those additional barriers. But with those added in, it makes it almost impossible for them to find their way in this very adult world, in this very adult system, without some assistance.
Yeah, it is very difficult. I find even adults have troubles going through the systems and finding, you know, the resources and the support that they need in the way that they need it. It's very difficult. Do you notice any cases of recurrent or chronic homelessness?
Oh, definitely. The region of Waterloo actually has what they call a paths list, and it's a prioritization list for folks that are considered chronically homeless. And on that list, there is about anywhere, you know, on any given week, there's between 35 and 43 youth. The issue that I have with the definition of chronic homelessness is that I don't think it's a fair and accurate definition when it comes to young people, because arguably, you know, the definition is that they've been, you know, homeless on and off for 3 to 5 years or something. But, you know, arguably, the toll that it takes on a young person to just be living rough on the streets for even a couple of weeks could easily equate to the toll that it takes on an adult over years, right? So the impact is just so severe on a young person. So I don't really like the term chronic homelessness, and I don't like the definition, because I don't think that it's representative of the detrimental effect that it has on young people to be on the streets, even for a short time.
How long can the youth stay at One Roof?
As long as they need our supports. I know, you know, we're part of the shelter network, and ideally the region, you know, has a length of stay that they'd like us to try to adhere to, but they're also very willing to recognize that youth are different. And so some come to us and they just need a little bit of support for a short time. Others come to us and they stay with us for quite some time because they're just not able to make that transition and be successful. And again, arguably, we become part of the problem if we try to move youth along when they're not ready, because invariably we set them up to fail. And then they come to us with, you know, the same barriers, same issues, but, you know, they're compounded now by feeling like, oh, I went through the system and I failed and here I am back again. So, you know, we don't do them any favors if we try to push them along too quickly. We have to recognize that they each need to evolve at their own rate and work their way towards independent living and an independent lifestyle, you know, at their own pace, or else, you know, as I said, we become part of the problem by pushing them too soon.
Everybody takes their own time to recover and figure out their own circumstances. And we have to be okay with that as well. We can't rush them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And we spoke about this earlier, but I'm just going to go over it again. I know that One Roof helps clients find housing. What kind of services do you have that helps the clients find housing?
So when young people come to us, you know, the very first thing that we do is we do an assessment on them to get a sense of their acuity level. And by acuity, we mean basically, you know, the amount of barriers that they're facing. And then based on that acuity level, you know, some of them require intensive case management. Some of them just require some more gentle, less intrusive supports. And so, you know, as part of that support, you know, we will work with them to, some of them, it's as simple as sitting with them at a computer lab and helping them look on Kijiji or go through, you know, ads in the Kitchener Record for apartments and maybe go with them to visit the apartment and, you know, help them understand the Landlord-Tenant Act so that they know what their rights are when they're signing a lease, that sort of thing. For others, it's a bit more intense if there's, you know, some mental health issues or if there's, you know, a real long-term homelessness where they, you know, the youth has felt that they've come up against a lot of roadblocks, then, you know, maybe it's a little bit more hands-on support. And so, you know, we will do, as I said, you know, mediation with landlords to keep those that have found something housed. If we can mediate some of the problems and some of the issues, we operate a trustee program for youth. It's voluntary, but in that program, we ensure that their rent gets paid for them. And then they know that whatever money is left is theirs to spend. We also have a host home program that is for youth with lower acuity, whereby instead of coming into shelter at all, they immediately go into a host home family where they're sort of a room and board situation. They're renting a room from that family. And it's really just a shorter term solution until they, you know, can find something on their own, or, you know, we have staff working with them that maybe mediate a return to home. And that mediation doesn't necessarily mean return to mom and dad. Maybe it's an aunt or a grandparents, you know, that they could go live with. But so that program is for lower acuity youth so that they don't end up in the shelter system at all. Because what our research shows us is that youth coming into a shelter system with lower acuity, it doesn't take them very long when we do the assessment in another couple of weeks to recognize that their acuity levels are quickly rising. And so that's not our goal. Our goal is to, you know, those that are lowest acuity, make sure that they have an alternative to shelter so that their acuity level remains low and we can just do some intensive support with them and then get them back on a more stable path, as mm-hmm. I said, with either other family members or, you know, finding them an apartment and that sort of thing. And then always, regardless of acuity level, always making sure that they know that the supports are there if they need and they can reach out to us. And, you know, so we have outreach workers that will stop by their apartment, see how things are going, you know, stop by where they work, see how things are going, see if they need, you know, a little top up with food, anything like that.
That's amazing. I know of One Roof. I volunteered at One Roof before. I actually didn't know that they provided all these services.
Yeah, many of these services are newer. It seems that the various levels of government have recognized that, you know, it's a bit short-sighted not to put more funding towards our young people, because the youth that are homeless today are going to become the adults that are homeless tomorrow if we don't do something. So, you know, in recent years, there's been more money allocated to preventing youth homelessness. And so, you know, we capitalized on that and developed some of these newer programs. because again, over our, you know, 30 plus years of working with this population, we see these gaps, and we recognize that, you know, without some sort of intervention, there's going to continue to be youth that fall through the cracks and don't get the support they need. So we're always trying to stay relevant and, you know, trying to implement programs that the youth are telling us they need. You know, our latest one is we hope to open a thrift store, but the difference about this store is that it's going to be operated by young people, so they'll have work experience. It's also going to be things that they've created that are going to be for sale, along with things that get donated to us. But, you know, there's a real entrepreneurial type feel to this store where youth can create jewelry, or we have silk screening equipment, so they could silk screen t-shirts or book bags, and it'll be their designs, and we'll be selling them within the store, and employing the youth that, you know, are helping out, so that they get the skills that they need. Because many of the youth that come to us, when they go to, you know, to look at a resume or to complete a resume, they basically can put their name on the top of the page and the rest is blank. I mean, they have no address, they have no work history. Many of them have left school, so they don't have any certifications or, you know, high school or college degrees that they can put on this. They don't have references. So it literally is a blank page. And if we can, you know, implement some of these social enterprise programs, utilizing volunteers that can act as references then, and giving them a skill set so that they can say, you know, I've had experience with a cash register, I've had experience doing marketing, or, you know, suddenly this blank page starts to fill up. And we also offer them certification in CPR, food handling, and WMIS. And so they can add these certifications onto their resume. And even if they're applying, you know, say at Tim Hortons or McDonald's, to be able to say, I've got my food handling certification, it puts them on more of a level playing ground with their house peers. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole goal, is to get them, you know, on a level playing field with their demographic, so that they have equal opportunity to find housing, find employment, you know, return to school, all that sort of stuff.
That's awesome. I love that. Do you see you succeeding and getting housing?
Yeah, we do. And again, you know, going a little bit on back onto my soapbox, I often get folks asking me, oh, tell us a success story. And I definitely have lots of those. I mean, I used to teach part-time at Conestoga College along with this job. And, you know, there were at least two times that I was teaching a new class and I'd look up and see one of the youth that I know we have helped through One Roof sitting in the class. And of course, I don't acknowledge them. You know, that's a privacy issue. But, you know, it feels good to see that some of them are moving on. We get letters from youth that have utilized our program and left. And, you know, again, we've been around 30 years. So we get letters from folks saying, you helped us so much. I'm now married. I have, you know, a wife or a husband and some children, and I live in this place, and, you know, I have a good job, and, you know, you helped me so much. And so, you know, I have those success stories, but again, maybe I've been doing this too long, but I like to really, you know, be a bit of an antagonist and push back at society a little bit and say, you know what, when you ask me for success stories, I would like to challenge you to define success for me. Because, you know, if you're asking me, do I know of any of the youth that, you know, have gone on to get their PhD, I maybe can't say that, but I can certainly say that, you know, we have youth that contract with us not to kill themselves, and they come back day after day, and day after day, we ask them to sign another contract to stay alive, because they are so hopeless that they don't see a point. And because we are saying to them, we care, we want to help you, agree with me to just stay alive one more day. And they do. Or we have youth that we say to them, you know, you're using a lot right now. Can you contract with me to use one injection less tomorrow? And they do. And they come back and they're proud of themselves. And they say, you know what, I didn't want to kill myself last night, or I didn't use this extra dose last night. And to me, those are the success stories that I want people to know about. Those are the ones that make the biggest impact and the biggest difference, because the reality is we are losing young people. And when they die, their potential to change this world is gone forever. In the last 14 months, we have lost 12 youth. And those are the numbers that keep me awake at night. Not the ones that we've helped. I mean, it's great that we're helping so many, and of course that's our job, but the ones that I lose sleep over are the ones that we didn't do enough for. We as society, not just One Roof, but we're part of that, and we didn't do enough, and now they're gone, and they're gone forever. And that needs to stop. And society needs to take a hard look at that and recognize that that needs to stop, and we can do better, all of us.
Exactly. We can do it. And it is the responsibility of the community as a whole. It's not just one organization. It's not just one person. It takes a whole group of us coming together as one to actually make change.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It does literally take a village. And, you know, we all need to face that responsibility. We can't keep pointing the finger and saying, well, you should have done something. You should have done something. We all need to do something. But I mean, I'll be honest and say, I'm weary of going to funerals and having parents look at me and say, how did this happen to my 17-year-old or my 18-year-old?
I can't even imagine that. What needs to happen in our community to see this population actually getting the support they need and not seeing as much homelessness in the streets and seeing them being able to maintain and keep their housing?
Well, the easy answer is affordable housing. I mean, there's just such a lack of affordable housing available to anyone.
You've been listening to an interview with Sandy Dietrich-Bell, CEO of One Roof Youth Services, where we discuss the current housing crisis for the marginalized youth of our community. From CKMS Newsroom, FM 1027, Radio Waterloo. Tune in for part two, where we'll pick up the conversation about solutions like affordable housing and other upstream services and programs. If you or anyone you know is struggling to find housing or in need of supportive services, Here 24/7 is an organization that helps connect you to resources within your community. Their phone number is 1-844-437-3247. I'm your host, Sharice Ali Shaw, reporting for CKMS Newsroom, FM 1027, Radio Waterloo. Check out our archived and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. Send us an email at news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch about ideas for stories and comments. Once again, my name is Sharice Ali Shaw, and I was your host for this program on CKMS Newsroom Radio Waterloo.